Let's read together Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In this first section of Romans 4, the Apostle Paul shows that God's way of salvation, namely by grace through faith, is not a new way. This has always been God's way of salvation, even in Old Testament times. Romans 4, beginning at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Let's begin now with some background notes for this section in Romans chapter 4. The epistle to the Romans not only proclaims the gospel, God's good news of salvation for mankind, Romans also explains the gospel. If anyone ever asked you, how can a holy God save unholy people, tell them to read the book of Romans. Romans is a systematic presentation of God's plan of salvation for people who are sinners. And that includes everyone here this morning, right? After Paul shows that all the world is guilty before God and deserving of eternal separation from God, that's the content of the first 2.5 chapters of Romans, then God's wonderful plan of salvation for the human race is presented at the end of Romans chapter 3. Now, what is that plan? The plan is not that God would lower his standards. And the plan is not that God would sweep sin under the rug. The plan is that God himself would pay the penalty for the sins of the world. And God in his grace did just that. He did just that when the Lord Jesus, God's only son, died on the cross at Calvary. Now all we have to do is believe by faith. Salvation is a gift. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. Now, the first logical question that might be raised at this point by readers of Romans in the first century and today is, but wait a minute. What about the Old Testament believers? What about keeping the law of Moses? Has God changed his way of salvation? Now, what's the answer here? No, God has not changed his way of salvation. God's way of salvation has always been the same, by grace through faith, even in the Old Testament. God's grace and man's faith in this God of grace. In order to prove his point, Paul uses two Old Testament believers as illustrations or examples or exhibits, as in a court of law. The two examples are Abraham and David. And that then brings us to the doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, Abraham was justified by grace through faith. Abraham was justified by grace through faith. Now you remember what the word justified means? To be declared righteous. Now look at verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is a quote from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. So even Abraham, the great Old Testament man of God, who was chosen by God to be the father of the Jewish people, even Abraham was not justified by works. He was justified by God's grace through faith alone. Look at verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You see the point here? If a person is saved by works, or even partly by works, then there's something to boast about. Look at me. Look what I did for God. There will be absolutely no boasting before God. So salvation must be by grace alone. You know the well-known verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now look at verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. You see the point here? If works are involved, then earnings and wages are involved. And if wages are involved, then it can't be by grace alone. Because grace is God's unmerited and unearned favor with man. Illustration. Suppose you take a job and you work for a week for pay. It's not determined how much an hour you'll make, but you've taken this job for a week for pay. At the end of the week, your boss pays you $10,000. You should be so lucky. At the end of the week, your boss pays you $10,000. Now, is that grace or is it a wage? Careful now. It's a wage. It's a very generous wage, but it's still a wage because you worked. Your boss is in debt to you until he pays you something. Grace, you see, in this illustration, grace would be when you're in debt and you have nothing to pay and you can't work and yet you're still given $10,000. But let's go even further with this illustration. Suppose you're not only in debt and have nothing to pay and you can't work, but you don't even qualify for the job and you have no chance of getting qualified. And yet the boss still gives you $10,000. Now that's grace. You deserve nothing, and yet you're given everything. That's grace. Look at verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Note, justifies the ungodly, not justifies the godly. You follow that? Those who are justified are the ungodly, not the godly. Everyone who is justified by God, declared to be righteous, must come to that point. We must realize that before a holy God, we are ungodly and don't qualify in any way for salvation. That's when God can save us without his grace being distorted and contaminated by human works. So Abraham was justified by grace through faith. Question, is Romans 4 a contradiction to James 2:21, which says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now it sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it can't be, because Scripture does not contradict itself. So how do we harmonize this? James is speaking of the evidence of Abraham's faith. Abraham was declared righteous by God in Genesis 15, many years before taking Isaac to the place of sacrifice in Genesis 22. Abraham's works then showed that he had the right kind of faith, and his works of obedience proved the reality of his faith. As James 2:23 says, and Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was justified by grace through faith. Doctrinal point number 2, David was justified by grace through faith. David was justified by grace through faith. Now we see Paul turns to his second example from the Old Testament, King David. Now, at least three things are significant here about the use of David as an example. Number 1, this was King David. This was the great king of Israel, handpicked by God. But even King David was saved by grace through faith alone. Number two, David came after the law had been given. You see, Abraham came before the law. So someone might say, well, the reason Paul uses this example is that people before the law were an exception. No, God says no exceptions. Before the law or after the law. See, Abraham before the law, David after the law. God's way of salvation has always been the same. By grace through faith alone. And number three, David had committed adultery and murder. Sins that were punishable by death. And yet David was declared righteous. Certainly not by works. How then was David justified or declared righteous? Answer, by grace through faith alone. Look at verses 6 through 8 once again. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And now Paul quotes from Psalm 32, a psalm that David wrote following his adultery and murder. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. David was justified by grace through faith. And now what about practical application from this first section of Romans chapter 4? Remember, righteous means righteous. Remember, righteous means righteous. You know, just this past week, I had lunch with a man who recently became a true believer. So I was doing a little discipling and explaining all that was involved in the concept of justification. I told him that when he became a Christian, he was not only forgiven for his sins, but he was justified, that is, declared righteous. And I told him that he was now as righteous as St. Paul. Well, I remember he looked at me and his eyes got real big and he said, really? Yes, really. And that is true of every believer here this morning. Righteous as St. Paul. Yes, we still sin in practice, but our standing before God is one of righteousness. We've been justified, declared righteous. Now, how righteous is righteous? Righteous is righteous. 100%. Notice how David put it in verses 6 and 8. David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. See what's involved here? That is, all sin is removed from the believer's charge account and put on Christ's account. No longer sin imputed to us, but our Lord takes the sin. And now on our account, on our charge account, no longer sin, but stamped righteous. God imputed, that is, puts on our account righteousness apart from works. Remember, righteous means righteous.